We have a traditional healers forum from the four corners of the world. And before we get started, I would like to introduce Bruce Elijah of the Oneida Clan, the Iroquois Federation. He's a community organizer, a lifelong storyteller, and a faith keeper. And he is here to open up, as we usually do, any kind of gathering with a convocation, a blessing, some words of wisdom. Are you there, Bruce?
Yes, I am.
Yes, we would like you to open up our program with some words, and if you could stay on the line also after that.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Yes. Well, welcome, everyone, and it is always a pleasure. And the first things before everything else is that we come together and we do a prayer. And the prayer is that we hope that everyone is in good health, of a good mind, and a good spirit. And want to be able to put our minds together as one of all the four colors of man. And we can begin to say that we hope that all is well with you, with your family, in your community, your extended family, so that we are in a good way. And we always do that because we never know the circumstances of how our lives are. So we want to put to rest in everybody's mind that we are going to address and think about how fortunate that we are that we still live in this world, that there are people that care without doing any harm or without doing any things that are happening in other places of the world, that we are at peace, that we are living in peace. We want to be able to give a thanksgiving to all the creatures of the world, the four-legged, the fin ones in the water, and to be able to say to the four directions, with all the plants and the medicines that grow there, that we gather, we still gather, and to be able to put our minds in a good way, that we can share the goodness of that, the fruits of our crops, and also the medicines that we have. And we can still do that. And so we want to put our minds together and give an all thanksgiving to all of those teachings that is given to us, all those gifts, those wonderful gifts that is given to us, and to share amongst each other and to show that the waters, of how important that water is, the giver of all of life. For without water, we wouldn't be able to exist or to continue. We need to take a look at that, that there are things that we can do that can bring the natural waters back to its original, that we can work towards that. So we want to be able to give an acknowledgement to that life. So be it in our minds. Want to be able to give an acknowledgement to all of our relatives. And we say, when you say our relatives, that's all the creatures of the world. So that they're there for a reason, and we are here for a reason, and ours is to understand what our roles and what our responsibilities are. And see if we can look into the future. And it is told to us that if there's a way that we can look at it for the next seven generations ahead, that there's some things that we have to make a change now in our lives that are going to make that even better. So we want to be able to put our minds together and give an acknowledgement for that, that we can do that, and that we should be able to do that. We don't need any laws to tell us what to do or how to do it. All it takes is a common sense to put our minds in that direction of how we can improve. that life, that lifestyle that we have, and how we can change for the better, for the future. We don't have to destroy anything else in the process of doing that. And so, with that for this evening, we would like to put our minds together and give an acknowledgement. Look to the right and to the left of you and ahead of you and behind you. And reach out and shake those hands and give a hug to the person that's closest to you. And to say that, you know, there's nothing but goodness in the life that we can do, that we can have. And with that, there's no barriers of anything. But it's the existence of that hope and that what families mean and what they should mean, and to understand.
Thank you so much, Bruce.
So be it in our minds. Thank you.
We would like you to stay on the line because, of course, later on, we would like to talk to you about the traditional healing work that you do.
Yeah.
And right now, I'm really proud to announce and introduce my co-host, David Kukula. He is a shiatsu master, a medicinal herbalist, an author, and a poet, and he brings 25 years of experience as a practitioner of traditional healing to our program tonight. He specializes in severe and chronic emotional and physical ailments, and he has worked with healers from all over the world. The foundation of his healing practice was established in Japan, in Tokyo, Japan, where he studied under Shiatsu Master Tokujiro Namikosho. How are you doing tonight, David?
Doing well, thank you.
So good to have you here tonight again. Tell me, who do we have tonight? And before we introduce our guests, tell our audience the vision, the hope you have with this program.
We started this series at the beginning of this year. This is our third program now. We have one more coming up in December. And the vision has been to bring the traditional medicines, the old ways that have served us so well up into modern times, and put those more on the front burner of the news in people's minds, bring attention to our young ones that these old ways, the old medicines, the old ceremonies, the old rituals are actually the cornerstone, or maybe the bedrock from which we can truly have a sustainable life. And as Bruce was saying, a life that there's joy, there's a life that can be appreciated. And so that the traditional healers form from the four corners of the world is special to me, because I've had the privilege to study with healers from the four cardinal directions, and in studying with these peoples from these different indigenous cultures, I've come to see that really we're saying the same thing, and all the people are saying that it's about learning how to live with respect, how to live in kindness, with an open heart, and caring for each other. And so I've been really tickled to death to be able to bring this special crew here tonight, and these traditional healers, and so that we can move deeper into some of the different perspectives that traditional healing talks about.
What subjects will we be covering tonight?
Well, tonight we're going to venture in the direction of some psychological and emotional imbalances. Our first program was more on philosophy, and then from there we went to our second program, went more into, we tried to touch the edge of diabetes, and came to understand and share on the program that exercise and nutrition are key elements there in the prevention of this epidemic. And so now we want to venture into a more of a psychological, emotional arena, and we want to talk about depression. And in all my years, and I'm sure with all the healers that are in the room here today with me, we hear many stories day in and day out of people trying to find a reason to live, trying to find a reason to live so that their life has meaning, their life has purpose. And so tonight, that's the direction we're going to go. And I have with me Francis Weller, psychotherapist, founder of Wisdom Bridge. Welcome, Francis, to the program.
Good to be here, David. Thank you.
Yeah, and we have Taya Valentina Curandera and founder of the Valentina Dance Method. Welcome, Taya.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
And we have also, we have Rob Albee, longtime healer and worker within Folsom Prison, co-founding the Inside Circle Foundation. And welcome, Rob.
Yeah, thanks very much. I don't think I'm on. Thank you very much. It's good to be here, and let's dive right in.
Okay, and so before we do that, we're going to say a little, we want to do a little special acknowledgement here. Always in the beginning of our programs, there's usually some situations in our community that need to be acknowledged. And for myself, I want to acknowledge my granddaughter, Isabella. She's going to be 8. And I would just want to say I love you, and I hope that sweet spirit that's inside of you shines forever. And Grandpa's here for you. And Tay, I think you also want to say a special hello to someone.
Yeah, I'd like to say hello to my father who passed a year ago, and it's his birthday today. And his name is Jerry McLean, and he was a man of the heart and a man of lots of laughter. And my two sons, Joaquin and Jamil, hold that laughter in their hearts tonight, as they're with their father out in the world tonight. And I just want to send love to the grandfathers and the granddaughters and the grandsons and across the lines of being here in body or not. We are felt. We are felt.
That's right. We feel the spirits here
guiding us.
And so with that, we want to welcome all of you to tonight's program. We want to welcome the families that stand behind you and also the ancient ones that came before you. And also knowing that the walk that we're walking is paving the way for those generations that have yet to come. Let's do it in a good way. Let's do it together. Let's do it with open hearts. We can come together. We have to be willing. We have to let go of resistance. So let's come together as one people, as Bruce said, in one mind, and let's build that good world. And with that, we're going to take a little break here. We're going to bring in our guest musician, Marshall McKittrick. He's going to play some music here for us, and welcome to tonight's program.
Mm-hmm. Get lost. You may be drifting on the ocean, deep in the darkness of dismay. Lift up your eyes and watch the heavens. The stars illuminate your way. There is a thread of love we follow. It goes among things that change. There is thread of love we follow. When we hold on, we cannot get lost. You may be lost within the city. Too many strangers all around. Look for the friend there deep inside of you. For what was lost can always be found. There is a thread of love we follow. It goes among things that change. There is a thread of love we follow. When we hold on, we cannot get lost. You may be wandering in the desert, confused and stumbling in the sun. Your thirsty soul cries out for water. One day the blessed rain will come. There is a thread of love we follow. It goes among things that change. There is a thread of love we follow. When we hold on, we cannot get lost.
Thank you. That was beautiful. Very welcoming. And so now we want to move a little further into our program here tonight. And we'd like to, just for a minute, we'd like to move in with you, Bruce, and welcome you back on the show. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, and so tonight's program, we wanted to talk about the emotional and psychological issues people deal with in traditional ways. We've worked together for many years, and we've always talked about the body, mind, heart, spirit connection, and how much the emotions, how much they play a key part in our physical well-being. I was wondering if you could just maybe share a few words with our listeners here tonight about how you see that emotional element in regards to us having a good life.
Mm. Yes, I was thinking about that earlier when we got the facts and looking at, you know, how we're going to do this, or what I can talk about that can bring it close to what we do. And, of course, it's always looking at what are those things that we don't share today. And it's our feelings, it's that emotional part of it. And the story, or the thing, the event that happened that I can remember, you know, just recently was my granddaughter. You know, she's going to be three in another month. And she comes to our school. So the other day I stopped by, and she's a happy little girl. As many times as I've seen her, that's where she is. She's happy. And my brother, who's the teacher, said, she learned a new word yesterday. And so I was looking at her, and she's standing there so proud, you know. And I says, what did you learn? What was the word that you learned? She says, Sungwaya Dizo. And in our language, that means the creator. Mm. The creator of all things. And I asked her that. I says, what does that mean? And she says that we are part of, I am part of nature. I am part of this life. What she is. There isn't.
That's very profound for such a young child to realize that.
Yeah, really.
Heartfelt, Bruce. Heartfelt.
Yes.
Yeah. The tears are going on this side, too.
And then from that, there was a young man, fellow, I think he was about 7 or 8. And that was, he was at the fasting camp, along with many other young boys. And we were teaching them about what it is to go on a fast and what it is to go on a vision quest. So his counselors came to me and said, could you talk to this one young fella? We can't seem to make any headway with him. He's angry. He's upset. There isn't anything that we can do that can make him feel good about himself. So I said, sure. I says, send him over and we'll get a chance to talk. So when he came, I asked him what his name was. And in the Mohawk language, he says, Desagoyat Dolit. And that means he, if you want to say it, you know, in English, is close to what a judge is. So I says, I kind of smile at that. I says, well, what a wonderful name you have. And so I asked him about his clan, and he told me what his clan was. So it's the Wolf Clan, same as mine. So I says, we're brothers. We're related. He looked at me, and so I said, okay, who's your mother? So he told me who his mother was. I says, what was her maiden name prior to being married to your father? So he told what that name was, and I said, okay. I says, does your mother still have parents? You know, they're still around? He said, yeah. So I said, what's their names? So he told me. I said, okay, now we'll go to your father. I says, what's your father's name? So he told me. And I said, okay. On your father's side, I says, well, who's his parents, and are they still around? He says, yeah. So he told me who they were. And I said, oh, that's good. I says, we're done. And he looked at me and he says, what do you mean, we're done? He says, you haven't said anything to me. I says, I know everything about you.
Indeed.
I says, many years ago, I says, when your parents were going to school, I says, I was the teacher. So I knew everything of the characteristics of your mother. I says, you have it. I says, and the characteristics of your father. I says, you had that too. And I says, and I know your grandparents on both sides. So I said, there's 3 generations that is in front of you. And I says, I know them all. So I says, I know everything about you, even before you say anything else. I says, now, I says, in all of them, I says, do you ever feel comfortable with them? I'm going to go with your grandparents. I said, do you feel comfortable with your grandparents on your father's side? And he says, yes. He says, there isn't anything I can do wrong. I said, there you go. I says, and on your mother's side? He says, same thing. I says, now with your parents? He says, well, they kind of tell me I can't do this and I can't do that. So there's a little bit something there. I said, well, that's what grandparents are for. So we're there to spoil our grandchildren. And I says, and everything that you're going through, I says, there is nothing wrong in what you're doing, as long as you don't hurt anybody in the process. So that was my topic for this evening, is talk about that of you know, we got to know our people. And the only way we're going to do that is to talk to them. You can't read it from a book, because the book can't explain to you in between the lines. can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
We are a people that is supposed to express by singing, by talking, to hear our voice. A man that I knew many years ago, and I haven't seen him since until the other day, I stopped by Tim Hortons, and that's a coffee shop, and had to order coffee, and my usual, you know, is a donut, and we call it Dutchie, or apple fritter. That was one of the ones I usually order. And as I was coming out, this gentleman stood up, and he says, "How you doing, Bruce?" And he says, "I recognize the voice." Wasn't that something?
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So our voice needs to be heard.
Uh-huh.
By not only by other people, but nature.
Mm.
And that's what we teach the children here, is to be, sometimes they're out in the bush, in the woods, and they can make all the noise that they want. And talk to the animals, and talk to the birds, and talk to the wildlife. And some of them are pretty good at it. Mm-hmm. Almost as good as me.
I've heard it sometimes said, Bruce, that we have to each sing our song, no different
that's
than
it.
The plants.
Yeah. And if you never do that, then how are they going to hear you?
Mm-hmm.
The spirits need to hear you. And that's what we do. That's what we teach the young people. You should see our young people. I mean, they, you know, if you ask them a question, they're going to give you a life story.
Hmm.
You know, of everything that they've come to be able to feel.
Mm-hmm.
As that little girl, my grandchild, what she said. And she knew it. You could see it on her face. You could see it on her smile. And is that she's very proud of being able to take that one word and know the meaning of it. And there's no one that can tell her that it's nothing. It is something. Very part of. So for the rest of her life, starting from 2 years old, almost three, she fits in. She knows that she belongs.
Mm-hmm.
And she knows that she's part of creation,
oh, that is
which
just
we all
wonderful.
Should.
I'm so glad to know that the young people are benefiting from the teachings still. I'd like to take a little music break with Marshall.
Sure.
And then we will be back with David in the rest of our program.
So stay on the line, Bruce.
Okay.
And so now we have Marshall. He's going to play a little music while we take a little bit of break here.
Taking a break.
Lonely light at the foot of a mountain, shrinking star at the pale purple snow. Black cloud hills cover stone-cold floors, river lines frozen below. Four corners, center of the nation's heartbeat. Four corners, desert, mountain, and sky. Four corners of my life. Tomorrow's whisper of why. In a pressure-fed bird, I fly overhead, westward into the new year. Read some lines of the future time. Digital noise is all I hear. Four corners. Your song is the open sky. Four corners. Chant for the earth and the cold, four corners of the time and place, eternally old. Down below I watch your passing, leaving
trails behind. I'm still here when you're a memory. I've been here a long, long time. Waiting in the quiet canyons, under ice and powder lakes, a presence aware of a change in the air, while we somehow survive our mistakes. Four corners, air, water, fire, and earth. Four corners, listen to the world breathe. Four corners of a time and place in the life we will weave.
Thank you, Marshall. That was wonderful.
Beautiful.
This is La Brava, and we are here with David Kukula and a lot of our guests here to talk about healing, both physical and emotional healing. Before we get started with our next part of the program, we have some spoken word by Rob Albee. How you doing, Rob?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Good to be here again.
You wanted to read us some of your work to segue into the next segment.
Yeah, well, I was going to read a couple short pieces, and I want David and Taya as well and Francis to join in here. And these are a couple of real short pieces. It kind of speaks to what we've been talking about today in my work that I do and through my life. I've felt as though that somehow the kind of the essence or the story of who we are, the song, or as Bruce's granddaughter was speaking to, is that, you know, when we're young, we probably still remember a lot of what we're connected to. And that somehow, through whether it's maturity or culture, we kind of forget that. And I feel like a majority of the woundedness that I know I carry, or people I've worked with carry, is they've forgotten that connection to who they are in a deep way. And it brings not only a physical health but emotional and psychological health. So the poem I want to read is called Healing. It's by D.H. Lawrence. And he goes, it says, I am not a mechanism, an assembly of various sections. And it is not because the mechanism is working wrongly that I am ill. I am ill because of wounds to the soul, to the deep emotional self. And wounds to the soul, they take a long, long time. And only time can help. And patience, and a certain difficult repentance, long, difficult repentance, a realization of life's mistake, and the freeing oneself from the endless repetition of the mistake which mankind at large has chosen to sanctify. That poem always gets me, that when he speaks there, and you guys just sound in, when he starts to speak there to you, and understanding that poetry is written in such a way that we can all kind of approach it from our own experience and understanding, when we go to tear it apart a little bit, you know, he starts to talk about, I'm ill because of wounds to the soul, to the deep emotional self. What does that kind of say to you? It's like, go ahead, Doc. What is that? The soul, it was, how, you know, we spoke a little bit earlier about how, you know, we began to break away from who we are, but in a deeper sense, what's going on there?
Well, I tie that into the last line of that poem, which is that, well, what has mankind at large chosen to sanctify?
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's implying that the hint of that is in the first line, that I am not a mechanism. Mm-hmm. Somehow we have chosen to sanctify this view of the life force as a clockwork, as a mechanism, right, as something that really deprives us of the deep emotional life, of feeling connected, of feeling alive, of feeling one another's presence in our life. So that mechanical, that deadening, flattening, oppressive quality of culture, when you follow that line, that is rupturing to the deep emotional life that we are wanting to live.
Yeah. And looking at illness from that deeper perspective, you know, for a long time I thought there was, when I was ill or had something, I thought I had done something wrong. But there's this sort of unity that we fall into collectively when they say when mankind is largest chosen to sanctify it, this, as long as we're putting on the good face and saying everything's okay and going to work, and that somehow we're supposed to be okay. You know, that all that, you know, all that education and all that was supposed to somehow make us be safe, and it really doesn't in a lot of ways.
Yeah, what I've seen a lot, Rob, is too, you know, just in alignment with that, is how each one of us wants to belong to something. Mm-hmm. And in our modern culture, whatever's been sanctified here seems to have kept us away, especially from those things that are deep within our hearts of how can I contribute? Because so many people I see want to contribute, but how do I contribute that gift that I'm holding in the structure that's been created here? And so it's how do we create a soulful existence here? Mm-hmm. You know, where do we start? And I think Bruce probably had a good idea as far as, you know, with the children. It begins with our children and teaching those children that, you know, they're carrying that special medicine, that special gift. And to sanctify that.
Right.
And so, Taya, do you want to join in on this?
Yes. So, to those listening, where do we start? And you just said the children. But that's something we all need to ask ourselves and dig deep in our heart. Mm-hmm. And take that time and patience, even if our souls feel heavy, mm-hmm. even if our souls feel battered. Mm-hmm. Because the soul isn't the spirit, mm-hmm. and it didn't address the spirit. And I feel the spirit is just there watching, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and waiting in that time and patience. Mm-hmm. And so where do we start? And then that question of what do we sanctify?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I love asking questions and then not having the answers and just sitting with it and chewing on it. And
absolutely.
So.
The other poem I want to read is another short. This one's by Machado. It's called The Wind One Brilliant Day. And he says, "The wind one brilliant day called to my soul with the odor of jasmine. In return for the odor of my jasmine, I'd like all the odor of your roses. I have no roses. All the flowers in my garden are dead. Well then, I'll take the withered petals and the yellow leaves and the fountain of the water." And the wind left, and I wept. And I said to myself, "What have you done with the garden that was entrusted to you?" That one speaks heavily to me also about that connection there to, you know, in some cultures, they strongly believe and encourage children and humans throughout their lives to really listen to that inner chord of music that is different from person to person, and to really pay attention to what that means and how that song plays. And I think a lot of times in modernity that sometimes we forget to listen to that connection and end up one day waking up wondering, you know, what happened? Where to go? You know, I was supposed to find health and peace and happiness in what I had been promised, and I really don't have it. So when we start to enter into the discussion of, you know, depression and stress and some of those issues that can come like that, I think it's important not to just feel alone as though, you know, I'm the only one experiencing this or that I've done something wrong. That sometimes that can lead into a period where we go down to the bottom and begin to learn what it looks like to then bring our own medicine out and make that available to ourselves and the world and the loved ones around us.
It reminds me a little bit of when I started my healing journey back when I was in my 20s, and that first step for me, Rob, was actually trying to find out what it was I was feeling.
Mm.
Because it was most of my younger life was pretty much checked out, or it was never asked.
Right.
It was never brought forward. And so then all of a sudden I become a father and I have children, and all of a sudden I'm feeling within myself this something was wrong, and wasn't until my wife asked me, or not only asked me, but she looked at me and said, "Jesus, you're depressed." And I went, "What? I'm depressed? Not me, right?"
Right.
Or what does that even mean? But that was actually the first crack in the shell. That you know, I'm depressed. Now what do I do?
Yeah.
And so then it was just that movement into trying to even understand that.
Absolutely.
And not only understand it, but my first reaction to it was something's wrong with me because I'm depressed, versus being okay with who I am. And depression is a part of who we are. And it seems like so much of what we're living in today is that these different emotionals, the different emotions that we all encounter, which ones are acceptable and which ones aren't. And it's like we're saying, you know, you can be happy, but don't you dare come into this room if you're sad. Because we want everyone to be happy here. Well, then who's that going to leave out? You know, who's in and who's out? Yeah. And so maybe it's how do we create some sacred place where who we are is welcomed in. So that, go ahead, Don.
Well, I was just thinking, it's very hard to welcome in those parts of us that don't match the heroic ideal.
Sure.
You know, we have to show the strong face and the strong body. And so those parts of us that don't match that are really exiled. They are banished.
Right.
And they create what I call the outcast brothers and sisters.
This is a very important thing, what you're saying about emotions being judged good or bad.
Right.
David, do you think that when a person is depressed, that that's almost like a warning to them that there is something wrong that they shouldn't ignore?
Well, I believe it's an invitation in, absolutely. And an invitation into a discovery. That maybe there's something in my life that I'm not allowing myself to see. Maybe there's something in my life that I'm walking down a path that maybe is not the right path, but I'm walking that path anyway. So it's almost like a guardian, if you will, and versus something that needs to be medicated and annihilated. Mm-hmm. And so that when we come back, La Brava, we're going to venture more in this direction of how do we treat depression in our modern culture? Is there a place for it? Is there a time where it needs to be medicated out? And our wonderful panel here of Francis Weller, Taya Valentina, and Robert Albee, and our brother Bruce Elijah, who's up there in the NIDA clan, part of the Iroquois Confederation. We're going to venture in that direction when we come back. But till then, Marshall McKittrick's going to bless us with some of his wonderful music and his lovely voice. So this is KPFA. This is the Traditional Healers Forum from the Four Corners of the World, being brought to you live here tonight on La Onda Bajita.
Oh,
cool.
Thank you.
When I was a little child, my dreams were all brand new, and I believed with all my heart they really could come true. But along the way, what they had to say, you know that just can't be. You just can't do that sort of thing. What would people say? I say, don't let your dreams slip away. Don't let your dreams slip away. There's a song within your heart, planted long ago. Only love can bring it back again. Only love can bring it back again. I tried so hard to play along and live by all their rules.
but I was crying deep inside. Myself I tried to fool, a broken, tortured soul at last decided to be free. And to myself I will be true and live as I believe. And I say, don't let your dreams slip away. Don't let your dreams slip away. There's a song within your heart, planted long ago. Only love can bring it back again. Only love can bring it back again. Only love can bring it back again.
That was wonderful. Thank you. I'd like to reintroduce our program. It's a traditional healers forum from the four corners of the world, David Kukula. And we're talking about our emotions and how it affects our well-being and how we shouldn't really just stuff it, but we should really examine what we're feeling and why.
Yeah, I think if we went back to the beginning of the program when Brother Bruce Elijah was talking about having a voice, and what does that mean? We can each ask ourselves, what does that mean? And how do I find that voice? Where do I find the courage to express that which is inside of me in such a way that I'm going to be rejected? I'm going to be criticized. I'm going to be ridiculed. And so how is it that not only we as here in this circle, grown adults, how can we create a sacred space? How can we start not only within ourselves, but maybe share with our listening audience tonight? What's a good way to start doing something like this, Rob and Francis, this invitation into the emotional world? And what do we do once we get there?
Well, certainly from my own experience, I'm an ex-convict and an ex-addict myself, and one of the first things that I did, I stumbled across quite by accident, that really in some way saved me, and really wasn't coming at it as an approach of trying to find healing, but more as a way of just coping. And when that door slammed behind me, and I was left with nothing but my own thoughts, there was moments where I thought I was really, something was going to snap, something was going to break. And, you know, all the traditional approaches were, you know, through the modern, you know, whether it was medication or therapy or, none of that seemed to help. My father was a preacher, and the aspect of God was meaningless to me at that point. I was young, but I began to write. I just got a piece of paper and a pencil, and I started to write just what was going, all the madness that was going on inside. And something about doing that really made a difference. It took a long time, but I began to have a dialogue with myself. And I think part of that was that, again, that's speaking to that same rediscovery of one's own self. When Bruce's granddaughter spoke about that connection to the sacred, in one of the traditions that I'm familiar with and spent some time with, they use a word called Yubongura, which translates into the thing that knowledge can't eat. And it takes it to a much deeper sense then. And so that's been kind of one of the real crucial ways that I've kind of addressed not only my own healing, but for people around me, is to begin to discover the individual song again and find out how that music shines and what it says and to whom it speaks to. You know, I firmly believe that most illness is caused when somehow some part of oneself has to be broken off for one reason or another, and is not welcome anywhere. So for me, it was really a beginning of starting to look down that path. And it's been, you know, over the years, I've continued to write, and it's helped me a lot.
Uh-huh. So we're talking about learning how to welcome, and how do we welcome these feelings. And Doc, a lot in your work, you deal with people all week long. What do you see in this arena as far as them coming into the realm of feelings, emotions, and particularly when they start touching depression?
Most of the times, the depression that they're coming in with is really undigested grief. The backlog of a lifetime of self-abandonment, of betrayals, of losses, pieces of their soul that they've lost, these accumulate. And they are what oftentimes is the weight that is depressing us. Mm-hmm. So it isn't so much a static state called depression. It is the unmetabolized sorrows that are really, in a sense, becoming toxic to the soul. And so a lot of my work with people is just beginning to unpack sorrow after sorrow after sorrow until they really begin to feel that sense of being alive again. You know, because one of the things that happens in this culture is we have shrunk the emotional range down to what I call we are a flatline culture.
Right.
So the range of our emotion now is down so narrow that we need stimulants and stimulus to feel like we have a pulse. Mm. So Blake had a phrase, William Blake said, the deeper the sorrow, the greater the joy.
Mm-hmm.
So when we took out that whole pocket of sorrow, because we're not supposed to show our vulnerability, not supposed to show our tears, we're supposed to somehow stay strong, we shrunk that range down. So my work is to try to open that range back up and deepen the bottom. I trust depression in some fundamental way, that it's a refusal. It's a protest of the soul to say, I will not take another step forward until you turn around.
Absolutely.
And go down.
Absolutely.
And get on your knees and touch the things that you have neglected and denied and turned away from. So it's a plea from the soul, particularly in a culture that is so manically driven for speed. This is a way also of protesting that addiction to speed and movement, and it stops us in our tracks. People are stopped in their tracks when they get depressed.
It sort of takes me into that place of, especially in the work I've done with myself and with other men, redefining that word courage, and actually coming to understand that to be a courageous man means to be able to feel.
Well, the word courage comes from the French word cœur, which is heart. To be courageous is to be full-hearted.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be courageous to go into the heart's deep emotional life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and feel what we have accumulated over our lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nobody in this room, nobody listening on this station that does not know about loss.
Right.
And deep sorrow. But most of the time we carry that so privately and so alone. And everything we carry privately somehow begins to be adhered to with shame. So we need to begin to, one of our first moves is to talk about the depression, talk about the losses that we've accumulated. So we're not carrying that shamefully in private. Yeah. Like Rob said before, we tend to carry our pain as if I've done something wrong.
Mm-hmm. And Taya, in the woman's world, give us some insight.
Well, in my household, I am the only woman in the household. And so I actually, you know, walk in a female's body, am a woman, and work with women mostly. 90% of my clients in the Soul Sanctuary Healing Arts work that I do is women. And yet I have two sons. My husband and I just celebrated 18 years of walking as companions.
Beautiful.
My father, who I care took the last 3 years at his passing from ALS, and walked with him in his heart and his grief. And then my father-in-law, who came to stay with us, and this evening on my father's birthday, had a very deep sharing and appreciated him and his presence in our family. And I find myself surrounded by men in this room.
Indeed.
So, your question being, women's emotional health and depression. Well, I have a lot to say, and there's so much to touch into. I want to just share something that birthed out as I was preparing to come here, and it was like spilling out of me. And healing arts, to me, that's how to shift through depression. Through the arts is one way, and this was spoken of, to write a poem. For me, it's moving my body and dancing and moving and feeling the music and the heartbeat, like listening to the music right now that's behind my voice, that's holding that heartbeat. And feeling a connection for women to the mother. And what does that even really mean? To the heartbeat of the earth. Mm-hmm. That this earth is giving to us all that we need. And how do we put our hearts figuratively and literally to her? And I find myself just falling to the earth and putting my heart on her and pleading and asking for guidance, because I need guidance navigating what I'm choosing to do in this world. For women, and I really want to touch on this one part, is the hereditary stream, which I use in my sessions, goes both ways, 7 generations back and 7 generations forward. Time is not linear. And we women hold the eggs. When I was in my mother's womb, I have the eggs in me that birthed my boys. When she was in the Amazon and she was in her mother's womb. So Mama Nati, Mama Domi, they are alive in my hands when I'm touching people. So whatever one does, we need to remember it's not just forward, but we can gather goodness and grace back. Yeah, and we have to help clear some hereditary stream crap sometimes. Yeah. You know, compost it, transform it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll sit with what I've said now and listen back to myself.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. There's an old saying that says, in order to move forward, we have to know where we came from. And that speaks to what you were speaking about, Taya, the ancestry, the lineage. And each one of us has to know what our lineage is, the whatever culture it is, that in fact we are walking what they carried before us. And so that there's a deep gratitude that we need to start looking at and appreciating and finding a way to reclaim those ancient tools so that we can create this new world, so that we can create a way that shows this deep respect you were talking about, Taya, of being able to put your hands down onto Mother Earth and feel her heartbeat. And that heartbeat from the Sami tradition, that drum beat is the heartbeat of the mother. Mm-hmm. And we say in our language, in our peoples, that as long as that drum is beaten, our mother will respond in kind. And so the importance of that drum beat.
Sorry to interrupt. It is 9 o'clock, top of the hour. We need to do a station ID. Listening to KPFA 94.1 FM and KPFB in Berkeley and KFCF in Fresno. And you are listening to a special segment of La Onda Bajitas, a traditional healers forum from the four corners of the world. And we've been speaking with David and Taya Valentina Chavez and Rob Albee. And we've had music with Marshall McKittrick. And it's wonderful. We're talking about emotions and how they can make us sick, and they can actually release us and help us heal by acknowledging them and working through them. And so we'd like to encourage everybody to call in if you have any questions for any of our guests. The number here is area code 510-848-4425. And so, David, let us know what's coming up next.
Well, we're going to take a small break. Marshall's going to do some music here. And then when we come back, we're going to go forward into, we're going to talk about men's emotional health, and Francis Weller's going to lead that discussion. So for now, here's Marshall McKittrick.
The man who gives of his heart was generous from the start. Even as a young boy, he watched out for the other kids. And still his wife, she knows how very much he gives. Yet he won't let anything back. He needs to learn to receive. Open to receive. It's as you believe that you deserve. The cycle must return. So as you give, open to receive. Open to receive. The woman with her heart on sleeve had empathy for all that grieved. She sympathized and reached out in the warmth of love. Yet her own self she hides far away above. And she suffers the pain inside. She must be open to receive. Open to receive. It's as you believe that you deserve. The cycle must return. So as you give, open to receive. Open to receive.
Thank you, Marshall McKittrick. Wonderful music.
It's very inspiring.
And so as we move forward in this Traditional Healers Forum here at KPFA on the La Onda Bajita program, we have with us tonight Bruce Elijah, Oneida Clan of the Iroquois Confederation, Francis Weller, psychotherapist and founder of Wisdom Bridge. You can find him up in Sonoma. And Taya Valentia Curandera, founder of the Valentina Dance Method and serving her people, her community in Marin. We also have Rob Elby, healer and worker, works the Inside Circle Foundation, does a lot of his work at Folsom Prison. So we want to welcome our special guests here tonight as we move forward into that emotional arena. In particular, we're going to start talking about men's health and men's emotional health, Francis. And I know you spend a lot of time in men's circles, and maybe you can tell us a little bit about the work that you've done, and maybe a little bit about the book that you've just published. Give us the name of it and take us in that direction.
Well, the book is called Entering the Healing Ground, Grief, Ritual, and the Soul of the World. And it focuses very extensively on what I call the five gates of grief. And but, you know, just in terms of the men's work, I've been doing a lot of work with men's initiation for the past 15 years. And it's been powerful to sit with men repeatedly for long periods of time and see their stories begin to unravel. And one of the most difficult things that men face is that they have such a thorough conditioning that sets them almost in the exact opposite direction of connection. So everything they're taught around competition, distrust, fear of others, intimacy, and so forth, they end up becoming one of the most isolated creatures on the planet. And in that isolation, in that deep loneliness, what begins to breed in that space is a deep sense of unworthiness, of shame. And then they have to hide that as well. So they have to cover up this feeling of unworthiness with a exaggerated sense of bravado and toughness and control and domination. Or they become very nice boys who don't know how to show up in the world in any effective way. So they both kind of mirror each other, but very rarely does a man authentically get to express who he is in the world, both his gifts and his sorrows, his weaknesses and his strengths. So to finding ways to help them honor those pieces.
And in doing that, Francis, where do you see ritual and ceremony as serving or as a vehicle to help our brothers out there in recovering that spirit warrior, if you will, now that warrior with a heart, the one that doesn't fight with guns and knives but comes with kindness in a good way, is a mender of fences, not a tear down of fences?
I think ritual is indispensable. I think it is the most ancient technology we have as a species. And it was the means by which communities could repair over and over again, both individual lives and the community life. And so inside of ritual space, something else is invited to come forward, the unexpressed. Oftentimes the wordless pieces get to come forward. There's an old idea that ritual is a language older than words. So we get to express our deep emotional life inside of ritual space. We get to show our grief. We get to show our gratitude. We get to show all of who we are inside of ritual. Things that we could not possibly express in dialogue or particularly in narrative dialogue. Mm-hmm.
And so when you speak of ritual, how would you compare this indigenous ritual in comparison to the ritual of modernity?
Ritual is meant to derange us. It is meant to set us on our butt. It's meant to derange us because the current arrangement isn't working. And we need to be rearranged in a way that's closer to how the soul is meant to live. Modern ritual is persona reinforcing. It works very hard to keep reaffirming a false identity rather than going into that very treacherous, wild territory of derangement. You know, that's scary. We like being in control. In some ways, we have a lot of ceremony. We don't have much ritual. We have things that are, we need ceremony. That helps to keep the society connected. But very rarely do we go into that unpredictable space of ritual, where we don't know who's going to come out of that space that went into it. I don't want to know. I don't want to be the same person coming out of that ritual as I went in. Mm-hmm. And that means being willing to have the ground shake beneath me, so that what's been silenced has a chance to be spoken. Mm-hmm. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes. And then if we could take that a step further, what you triggered inside of me is the thought of all our young men who are driven by making money, thinking that's the God, and that's where they're going to find their happiness. But to bring in this issue of them to want to come or invite them into this shaky ground, their reluctance. And what would you say to these young men out there that would benefit from looking in this direction of derangement from a ritual perspective?
Well, whether we do that deliberately or unconsciously, we're driven to go there.
Absolutely.
Now, we'll either go there as a community, which helps these young men find something of value that can transmute that original fire into something that serves the community. Or you'll go there unintentionally, through drugs, through alcohol, through, you know, just behaviors that are very treacherous to the soul.
Adrenaline.
Mm-hmm. But we're driven to go there. So I would like to encourage these young men to do that in the containment of a ritually held space by elders, where that space can actually be acknowledged, valued, and given shape.
Absolutely.
Because right now there's no shape that comes out of that. It's chaos. Mm-hmm. And it's usually self-destructive. I mean, Rob can tell us many stories of that. Yeah, you know.
And in the prison work that you do, Rob, I'm sure you deal with a pocket full of emotion,
and the work that you do. How do you deal with that in that culture?
Well, it's ironic in that these men that were in many cases driven by some strong emotional urge or some strong emotional response. Oftentimes, when I begin to work with them, I'll ask them, real simple questions like, "Stop for a second and tell me what you feel right in this moment. What are you feeling right now?" And they don't have an answer. They can't tell you what they feel because they've had to bury all and suppress all mm-hmm. that. We talked earlier about, the real definition of courage, and most of us are taught as men that courage is the absence of fear. And unfortunately, the absence of fear just means something is broken. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is feeling the fear and moving ahead anyway, not knowing what the outcome might be. Mm. So it's kind of a two-edged sword. There are all these kids that are coming into the system now. It's my belief that they're out on the streets seeking some form of initiation anyway.
Yeah.
They want to belong to some, feel like they matter. Mm. All the stuff that encourages a young person to begin to step out and take risk. Unfortunately, they're getting used to do other purposes,
mm-hmm.
And not really taught how to take that energy and put it into something that can be beneficial
right.
for all of us.
Right.
And even the elders of all of us, even the that are in communities, really need that young fire to come into the circle and help keep us alive. That stuff is crucial to our well-being as well. So it's not like, it's just coming, giving something away. It's coming and beginning to learn both from an emotional perspective but also from a spiritual perspective what responses are appropriate and how can they be best used to serve the community.
Mm-hmm. And that sort of takes me into that other place that, one, there needs to be a voice, and on the other side, it also, someone needs to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Someone needs to listen.
That's right.
Would you like to speak about that, Doc?
Well, there's a phrase in South Africa, "I am because we are."
Mm.
We can't shape a self in private. The self is drawn out. We are invited by that deep listening of another to really display who we are. Mm-hmm. If we sing our song, that's great, but it is good to have someone there to witness it mm-hmm. and to acknowledge it and to reflect back to us the beauty of it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember our work together. Mm-hmm. How slowly over time our insistence on the reflections we gave to each other slowly overwhelmed the old stories we carried, mm-hmm. the tired, depressed stories we each carried about who we thought we were.
Mm-hmm.
It was that intensity of reflection
mm-hmm.
over and over and over again that slowly encouraged us to become who we were meant to be.
The repetition.
The repetition.
We need to hear it over.
We do.
And over.
We do.
And over.
We do.
We are good people. We are good men. We are good women.
Yeah.
We have beautiful families.
Yeah.
We have a community. Let us open our arms to each other. Let us reclaim what's been denied.
We need to be able to tell these young men, you belong.
Mm-hmm.
And you have been wanted from the birth, from your birth.
And for all young men out there, hear those words. You belong. We welcome you into the hearth of the community. We need your gift. We need your medicine. We need your courage.
Yes.
We need your help. This is a home for you. There is a place for you, a beautiful place, and we welcome you with open arms. And so with that, we want to move into a little poetry here with Rob. And in the prison work that Rob does, he works with a lot of his culture and doing poetry work, and has written some wonderful poetry books. You can contact him after the show. We'll give you a contact number. But for now, here's Rob Elby.
Yeah, thank you, David. I wanted to read a couple of short pieces again, and we can jump into them if we want to as well. But, when we talked about shutting down emotion and shutting down those places in us, whether we're taught that or whether that was imposed upon us in some way, some of it, while I don't presume to completely understand or be an authority on depression, but some of it I think actually that I see in the prison work is men have covered over a place that just hurts too much. It's just they can't go there. And I've just heard horrific stories over the years of things that happen. But Emily Dickinson, and she writes a piece about this darkness that comes over a person when they've been wounded real badly. And she says, "There is a pain so utter it swallows substance up, then covers the abyss with trance, so memory can step around, across, upon it, as one within a swoon goes safely where an open eye would drop him bone by bone." That one touches me about the, you know, so many of the, I think not just the men I work with in prison, but as human beings, all that we talked about, that undigested grief and the horror of those pains, sometimes are so horrific that in order to survive, I got to somehow stuff it away till I can't remember it.
Yeah.
To where it just goes invisible and dark.
Yeah.
You know, it's taken a lot of work for me to go back and pry open some of those memories I have from my own childhood and the abuse, the violence that endured. Another one, and I think the truth too that we're speaking to is to turn and face those honestly in a safe way. You know, not just irresponsibly forcing people to look at things that might harm them further, but to really in a way where there's a community and a support a system or a circle or some kind of container that can hold that place.
Absolutely.
And to turn and look at it honestly.
Thank you.
I really want to thank you for your words, your spoken word. I think it's very important that people understand that men have emotions and realize how damaging it is to deny them.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think that women also have fallen into the trap of trying to be strong like a man rather than being strong like a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you just tuning in, we are having a traditional healers forum from the four corners of the world with our guest host, David Kukula. And we do have a caller on the line, Annie from Fairfax. And I know we were going to speak to Taya Valentina about women's emotional health, but I'd like to open up the phone lines and see what our listeners have to ask.
Oh.
Are you there, Annie?
I am here in Fairfax as we speak. It's beautiful in Fairfax, and I was listening and also talking to my neighbor about our memories of being in high school and how some of the wounds you can have in high school when, you know, maybe you're a cheerleader, maybe you're a stoner, maybe the other kids are picking on you or whatever. And I had a boyfriend, and I had to move away. My family moved me away, and they didn't honor our relationship, and I just basically fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
So what it boils down to, well, not boils down to, I'm expressing it not how I want to, but what you made me think of is the words, "Your glory is your story." So it sounds kind of pithy, but, you know, we have a story, and then I can't think of any poetry to join you with except for me and my boyfriend at the time. And, you know, "Oh, Romeo, Romeo." Mm. Except, you know, he wasn't a Capulet. No, he wasn't a Montague, pardon me. I know my Shakespeare super well. So I really appreciate what you're doing. And for healing for me, I guess it's been some of, you know, what we have, the Western therapy, but telling someone your story and crying and, you know, knowing that somebody has that and it's safe to tell, and then witnessing for other people, maybe young people who are going through abuse, like if you did when you were young, and fighting against abuse, or maybe you could do foster care, you know, or adopt some of these children I worked at.
Right.
Anyway, I don't want to go on.
Thank you, Annie,
for
sharing what it sounds like you were sharing with your neighbor, and that's what we're talking about is, in the moment you find someone to share with, like a neighbor, and share stories, and that is traditional medicine. That is oral tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter if you're from the same clan. You find somebody, and you share with each other, and you bring over some food, or you check in and knock on their doors if you haven't seen them in a little bit. So I appreciate your call, and I like that. Your glory is your story. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. And We'd like to move a little bit deeper into women's emotional health with Taya Valentina here. And we sort of touched the tip of the iceberg on men's mental health and emotional well-being. And so let's flip that coin to the other side. And Taya, why don't you bring some words for us?
Thank you, David. It's really wonderful to be here. I wanted to just regress a little bit in what you said at the very beginning when you were speaking, and you said, what does depression even mean? It's when your wife had said to you, you're depressed.
Oh, me?
Something like that, yeah.
No.
And, you know, so what does depression mean? And, you know, you can look it up. If you want to find that out, that's the technology. And there's many different kinds of depression. And again, I don't say that I'm a expert at all. But I do want to say that traditional medicine can help depression. Now, I'm not saying that allopathic, which is conventional medicine, shouldn't be thought about. Because I believe there are times
Absolutely.
When it's very severe
Absolutely.
That it may be necessary so one can move and make choices
mm-hmm.
and get out of a place and of so they can do their work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I wanted to address that a bit and also give a suicidal lifeline in case if someone's listening and they're saying, wait a minute, I'm not just chronically depressed due to the economy or because of a boyfriend, but something much deeper that they need to pick up the line anytime. And if I could do that right now, is that okay with you? Okay. So suicidal lifeline is 1-800-784-2433, and there's also another lifeline, which is 1-800-273-8255. So with that, I feel like I can address a little bit more deeper about the feminine aspect. I know from my own story, for me, I held a lot of repressed rage. And that manifested in addictions at a very early age, from the ages of about 13 to 19. And I was looking for initiation. So when you spoke about that with the men, I wanted to really address that I was brought up in the mission and appreciated what was there. There was something there, a heartbeat there for me that I resonated with. When I was 12, we moved to Novato, and it did not have a large Hispanic or Mestizo community.
Mm-hmm.
So I found myself getting on a bus at 14, unconsciously going to parts of the mission I never knew as a youngster, and seeking out the lowrider community.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that was my unconscious seeking
awesome.
Initiation.
Absolutely.
And so for both men and women, it is, we need to find that, we need to bridge that. You know, my sons have been in our family sweat lodge, and it's time, I'm telling you, I just called it tonight. It's time again to have another lodge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whatever your traditions are, make them up. It doesn't matter, families out there, you make them up. It's your family. You know, that was what was brought up. Earlier, like, I feel the woman sets the tone. I was brought up in a matriarchy, and my mother had a hold of masculine and feminine and work, and I had that keychain around my neck. I say, if you can, find aunties, whoever, to create community. If you're working full-time, have someone be there.
Mm-hmm.
That's loving food. Whatever it is, simple, present, that's the heartbeat of the drum. Mm-hmm. Rhythm replacing the strength that we don't feel we have as women.
Mm-hmm.
When we're exhausted, our adrenals are exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or
mm-hmm.
I could just go on. you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in just rewinding for a moment is find your rhythm, women. We must find our rhythm. Look at the moon tonight. Before you go to bed, look out the window. Breathe in the air wherever you're at. I don't care. Find a connection.
Mm. We do have a caller on the line, Juan from San Pancho. We were going to have a little music break, and then hopefully we'll be able to open up the airways for our audience Q&A. So do we have time to speak to Juan?
Yes. Go ahead.
Are you there, Juan?
I'm here.
Hello, Juan. Welcome to the Traditional Healers Forum.
Thank you so much. My question is, first of all, the mother is the universal mother, and how, as men, can we really turn down the walls that will help us to really acknowledge the universal power that they have as their givers. They are life givers, and they are the ones who preserve the knowledge from traditions. And how, as men, can we honor more that? Because I don't see that it's happening, and I don't see that the system is promoting that. I don't see that happening in the schools. I think that the schools are creating the opposite, dividing constantly more, becoming more segregation, sexist. Men and women are different. We are the same. Hmm. We are sacred drops in the vast ocean of life. We are just one. And we are together in this journey, this beautiful journey that we call life. And as I was talking to my dear mentor, David Kukula, this morning about how he was doing and how I am doing right now, we just engaged in a wonderful conversation, and again, his words had the feeling and the power to heal me and push me to move forward, reminding me that there is an origin in myself, and that sent me back to reflect on my mom. The love that she put always in her food.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much for those comments. We would like to take some questions from our listeners out there. The number is 510-848-4425, and we will take a little bit of a musical break and come back to our listeners' questions.
Yeah, thank you. And before we go into that little music break here, Francis Weller is going to say a few words to Juan in response to his call, and thank you for calling, Juan.
Juan, your comments are beautiful and fully, heartfully expressed. One thing we can do is actually get together as men and begin to remember what it means to be a man who carries the sacred presence, so that we can honor and give gratitude to the mother and to the women that we're connected to. It's like when we are in the body of a young boy as an adult man, that we're actually trying to get energy attracted to ourselves rather than to give something away. Mm. So part of our work is to really remember what it means to be an adult man and to reconcile and heal the wounds that keep us in that adolescent place. Because as long as we're in that adolescent wound, the energy will always be coming towards us, and the world, and we will be a point of extraction rather than a place of contribution.
Mm-hmm. Well put.
Mm, thank you. And with that, we're going to take a short break here. We got some live music by Marshall McKittrick, who's been kind enough to drive all the way here from Sacramento just to be sponsored, just to be a part of this Traditional Healers Forum for the Four Corners of the World. And he has been for years been involved in the men's movement and on healing his soul, and I believe you can hear it in some of his music. So welcome, Marshall.
Thank you, David.
Dragonflies hover in their singing. Boy minnows dream serenity. Lotus blossoms present moment.
all of this somehow a part of me. From the mud deep below, beauty rises forth out of great mystery. Blossoms divine worth. Half hidden shadow as the children smile. Blissful notes come from distant flute. This path continues on forever. All branches grow from just one root. From the mud deep below, beauty rises forth out of great mystery. Blossoms divine worth, circling through every season, viewing our lives a step behind, trying to understand the reason beyond our senses and our minds. From the mud deep below, beauty rises forth.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much. So we do have some callers on the line? No?
And?
Yet. Once again, the phone number is area code 510-848-4425. And you're tuning into a traditional healer's forum from the four corners of the world. And we are opening up the phone lines for questions from our listeners. And we do have somebody on the line. We have Amy from South Berkeley online. Amy, are you there?
Hi, honey. How are you?
Good. How are you? Do you have a question for David or Taya?
Yeah,
or?
It's just a question about what does he suggest? Lately, I've just been so full of anger and just with this, to as far as I'm concerned, logical sense of just not giving a flying F anymore about anything. It just seems like things aren't, life isn't fair, it's not worth it. And just kind of feeling fully of despair. I've tried modern medicine. There is no magic pill. And I want to feel like I have a will to live again.
Thank you for finding the courage to call in and give it a voice. And we welcome that. We welcome that here on this show. Bruce started it that way by saying that we all need a voice. And so in that arena of rage, in that arena of anger, where can we find a safe place for it where it doesn't become destructive? And so that anger can actually give you the courage, gives you the willpower to turn a new leaf, so that somehow how you've been living your life, you can say to yourself, I'm going to do it different. Or maybe in some situations where we've been so tolerant of ourselves, that inner anger can also be the catalyst for change. And so then that would be a positive, that'd be a constructive way. And I know in our men's circles, we have definitely some rituals and ceremonies where we, as men collectively, can create a safe environment for each other. And I think also that in my experience over the years, that there are women who have the skills and the tools where they can welcome you in and provide that safe space for you to be able to get deeper into that. And I'd really encourage you to call Taya Valentina after this program and talk to her. Maybe you can set up a session with her, and the two of you can work together. You can find her at TeyaValentina.com. That's TeyaValentina.com. She'd be more than happy to work with you. And again, thank you for calling. And deep breath, deep breath. You're important here. We need you.
Oh.
And so, you don't need to do this alone. You can't do it alone.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say also to Amy, is that we do care, we do love you, and you are not alone, even though maybe you feel that way. Now we have Elaine on the line from, excuse me, I forgot, but we have Elaine on the line. Are you there?
Yeah, from Santa Rosa.
Santa Rosa, excuse me. You have a question for David or Taya or Rob anybody?
First of all, I just want to say this is just an absolutely wonderful, wonderful program. I mean, the planet, you know, when I look at everything that goes on, I see just a bunch of hurt people that don't know how to let their hurt out, and so they hurt other people. And everything that you're talking about is so important. And to let that woman know, I mean, we really aren't alone if we allow others in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have those barriers, you know. We have the barriers to color, skin, religion, size of house, you know, size of waistline. I mean, you know how women are. I mean, we could just drop those barriers. But the question that I wanted you to respond a little bit to, and I really appreciate you talking about the women. You know, I was really upset when they maced those young women in Wall Street, and I saw that as a real sign of deterioration in our country when the police or the soldiers raping our women in the army, you know, macing them the way they are. Once the woman is not honored, you know, once they don't see the woman as the mother, the creator, the one who brings forth life, you know, once that starts going, you know, the culture really starts getting into trouble. So I'd like if you could address that a little bit, and know that we just love you, and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for doing this wonderful show. It's so, so needed. Thank you.
Thank you. I wanted to address Amy and the, what is your name that's on the line?
Elaine.
Thank you both so much for calling and sharing your voice. I come from the place of that the arts can heal us. We can heal with the arts and with each other and being heard. And my own story is that traditional wounded healer's path this time around. And so, women, we need to pick up our connection to the medicine wheel. All cultures have that. Celtic, Northern Ireland, Northern European, all Turtle Island, we all have a wheel. We all have a circle. And I am so grateful for all the teachers that I've studied with that have supported me. But if you can connect to the elements, to the earth under your feet, and you breathe into that, and say, beauty below me. And then you breathe and look up to the sky. And if we do that tonight, women, and say, beauty above me. And if together we take our hands out and reach for that sky and breathe in and open our hands to the sky and breathe in and reach out, beauty before me. And then breathe behind our past and say, beauty behind me in those footsteps that I've walked, releasing the shame, the blame, all of it. And all we have right now is this moment.
Mm-hmm.
which is the center of the wheel.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
That's the center of the wheel. Mm-hmm. So we connect to the earth in one quadrant. We connect any tradition. I honor all traditions. Earth, water, fire, air in the center, ether that lives in all things. So when you breathe in that oxygen, you breathe in the ether, the prana, the chi, whatever you call it, the universal life force, and you breathe it into your cells right now and into your brain cells, because guess what? They're rejuvenating. Science backs that up.
Mm-hmm.
They're not dead. So new cells forming, what's the new thought? Right now.
Mm-hmm.
Pass this on. Write down what we're saying. Pass it on to a few friends. Get it in your body, in your muscle memory, and be your own teachers.
That's it.
Hope.
And for the brothers out there, we ask you to come forward and to be warriors, be spirit warriors that know how to protect the sacred feminine, that we're brought here to be keepers of that sacred fire. And it's through that sacred fire the gateway to the ancestors is opened. We ask all our brothers out there to be in service to the divine feminine, not only within ourselves, but also to the women in our families, in our communities. And how is it that we can let go of our need to dominate and control? And how can we come in that softer way as a proud man with an open heart and say, what is it that you need? It is time that we put an end to the abuse that this Mother Earth has endured. We have to stop the horror story now. We have to build that new world in that good way. And I ask all my brothers out there to be able to do that.
We have Michael on the phone from San Francisco.
Hi.
Michael, are you there?
Yes, God bless you.
Do you have a question?
I love you very much. I think this is so wonderful, you know. I never get this kind of energy, really, from the Christian church. I go all the time. Here's the thing. I have the Spirit of God inside me, but I can't stop ignoring Him. And I wonder if you have some kind of method of not getting distracted, of holding the sense of the sacred. There's something that's missing in my whole approach to existence. You know, the grandfather spirit, or Awona Wilona, whatever you call him, he's inside of me, and I've got better things to do.
That's true. Go ahead. I was just going to say that, you know, I come from a traditional religious background myself as well, and it didn't work for me for a long time, and it took me a long, long time to discover a relationship with the sacred that was separate from the relationship with my father's idea of the sacred and his relationship. And I had to do that on my own, and sometimes in the dark, and sometimes it was painful, and a lot of times I felt lost and didn't know quite where to go or how to go about it. But I think not only for this caller, but Amy as well, that called earlier, is that somehow there's some piece of magic in telling the truth in the moment. That if we discover a place where we feel safe enough to tell the real truth, whether the truth is that you walk up to a stranger and say, today I'm angry. Not at you, but I'm angry. Somehow there's some magic. I would like to invite Amy, just the act of calling in and saying that she was angry. Just watch yourself for a while and see if that made a difference or shifted in some way. If we're paying attention in a deep way, I think it starts to come out as long as we're paying attention. Whether we're trying to make a connection back with the sacred, as this caller's asking, I think it's all there, that all the medicine is there, that there's a place in us that remembers, and it's just the art of then being honest with what I'm feeling right now, telling myself the complete, painful, bitter truth, whether I'm depressed or hurt or sad, or whether I've covered up those places so deeply that I can't even begin to get to them. Part of is the recovery for me was to begin to go back and speak myself the truth and then begin to speak it to others, the real truth. Not the one we tell each other every day, but, you know, the fact I could be angry one day, and that's what I'm going to feel today. I'm just being truthful for me. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. It's sort of brings us to that question that each one of us has to ask ourselves, and that's that, who am I, and, you know, am I content within myself? And if I'm not, then where am I going to get that? Where am I going to find it? And one of the best ways that I know how is beginning with those prayers of gratitude. Oh. And being able to maybe start a practice where you take it upon yourself to start doing maybe, for example, a sunrise ceremony. And each time that your eldest brother, the sun, comes up, you know, you welcome him and welcome the teaching that he has to bring you today so that you can walk today with a consciousness, not just as someone that has to go to work to 9 to 5, but what is in that? What is that ancient brother of yours saying to you about where you are and maybe what you need to do with your life? And so there's a beginning step, that place of finding out who you are through the practice of gratitude. And we know that a lot of what we've been talking about tonight has been in the direction of what some call the shadow or the darker side of life, whether it be depression or grief. But we also, in sitting here, I got this nice little light right here in front of my table here, knowing that, you know, there is light we find through the darkness.
Absolutely.
There is a gift that we do receive by saying yes to what it is that we're feeling. And it's not something that you have to get. It's given to you. It's maybe you call it earning the grace of God. I'm not sure if that's the correct terminology. But something happens by your continual courage to be honest with how you're feeling, speaking your truth, having a voice. Taya, go ahead.
Well, when you said that, it what came to me in my own recovery from addiction and what some people say is the double or shadow, or is a willingness to just be willing. Like, that's that first step, to be willing. And then in that, there is a grace of awareness, and the awareness is not always, oh, I'm aware and enlightened. It's, I'm aware and I smell my own, wow, you know, it's right there. And just being with that. And to me, that's the will. It's like the willingness, and then moving into awareness is like a spiral. And then there's this flow of compassion, to have compassion for yourself. And then perception shifts. We see the world differently once we've dropped down a little bit. And then, in my experience, there's these moments of insight that come from something beyond me with the little eye.
Absolutely.
And that's the wisdom. And I would say, that, you know, speaking back to the elements, the first is the earth, then there's the fire, the water, and the air, and it's this beautiful spiral. Now, that just came from me moving and dancing. So women, men, create your wheel. Create your creative arts. Poetry, dance, movement. Express it.
Absolutely. That's beautiful.
Thank you. That's really, really quite important, to be able to express yourself so that your feelings don't just fester inside you. We have time for one more question from Chuck in Oakland. But I also wanted to thank you for your words about grief, because we did have a caller who wanted us to talk a little bit about grief, which can be very overwhelming sometimes. Are you there, Chuck?
Yeah, hi, I am. Thanks a bunch for this dialogue. It's really, really rich tonight. I'm wondering what any of you might have to say about the concept of scapegoating. I tend to have had some very unfortunate interactions with people who are close to me lately where it's so clear to me that the stuff that they're putting on to me is really their own stuff. And just recently I also heard a very poignant comment, and that is that oppressors, or in a larger sense colonizers, always seek to usurp the beauty of those who they oppress. And I just wondered maybe if you could share a little bit of your thoughts about that concept. I know it's lengthy, but
We'll go right into it. Francis is going to take the first chomp at the bit.
I like that comment you just shared about beauty being usurped by the oppressor. I mean, beauty is the thing that keeps us animated, keeps us alive, keeps us connected to what is important to the soul. And when that is taken from us, what we're left with is the tyranny of monotony. Which is, in another ways, that we enter into depression. When we are given insipid forms of entertainment, work that does not excite or ignite our passion, what we're left with is that monotonous existence for day-to-day life. And that is exactly what we've been given by the culture right now. So we are living within that oppressive system right now, and that desire for beauty, and also the callers all night long, there is so much vitality in your outrage. And if we can take that outrage and express it through art, through imagination, we can be delivered back into beauty once again.
Thank you. And then Francis, do we want to address that part of the call, his call in on the projections, that the scapegoating, and something that, what would be some words you'd give to him in regards to scapegoating?
It's a strategy. It's a technique. It's a mechanism of disowning responsibility for whatever is moving in the culture. We do it all the time. We scapegoat other genders, we scapegoat other cultures, we scapegoat minorities. We find some way to pass on the responsibility for showing up as adult men and women. So if you're finding that happening to you, make sure you step sideways. You don't want that to stick to you. It doesn't belong to you. And then find some way to affirm life as a response.
Yeah, it always seems clearly that that most often what feels most effective is to begin to step into, it's always a reminder for me to step into my own magic, my own secret, like,
that's right.
This person is not, some place is broken somehow, and now it's using this, what Francis uses as a strategy, called a strategy, and it's just a reminder to me to go back into my own heart, my own medicine, and be truly who I am, and not the person they're seeing.
Right.
I'd also like to chime in that observing, you know, the other human being that is sharing, and that, yeah, it's a, what Marshall Rosenberg has said, a tragic unmet need, and there's, you know, that's, it's, scapegoating is a word, and I love finding definitions of things, because we all have a different perception of what that word means, but observing it, noticing if there's a trigger in myself, if that occurred for me, and noticing if there's any place at all that I need to look at for myself as well.
True.
And then also, you know, Aikido it, just like my friend Francis said. Aikido it, move it to the left, move it to the right, but observe it, see if you can objectively observe it. Thanks.
Find the courage to walk away when you need to protect yourself in a good way. And so with that, we're going to turn this over to Norma LaBrava, and we're going to sort of start buttoning up the show here. Norma.
I want to thank each and every one of you for sharing your words of wisdom with our listeners, and having the courage to speak about the things that have really moved you. I want to thank our guests, Bruce Elijah, especially for his opening prayer, mm-hmm. and Francis Weller, Thea Valentina, and Rob Elby. I want to especially thank Marshall McKittrick for his music, mm-hmm. and also for our supporters and sponsors, shopnaturallystoked.com, runka.com, Model Mechanics, Sage Lounge, 1601, and Flower Child Event Design. Thank you so much for being here, supporting us, and really just letting everybody know that we're doing good. And I thank each and every one of you for your support.